Good morning. I'm honored to be here to preach on this Sunday morning. And I ask that you pray with me during this sermon. I will be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 19, and then Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. So starting with 1 Samuel chapter 3, it reads, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, 'Samuel, Samuel,' and he said, 'Here I am,' and ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' So he went away and lay down. The Lord called again, 'Samuel.' Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall speak. You shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.' Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever.' Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli, but Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' He said, 'Here I am.' Eli said, 'What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you.' So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, 'It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good.' As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground." The word of God for the people of God. In one verse in Deuteronomy 4, 9, it says, "But take care and watch yourself closely so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. So the subject of today's sermon is Here I Am. For the past couple of years, I have spent the majority of my time with people who are DJs. I have a close friend who is a DJ. I often hang out with him and some of his other DJ friends. And my work colleague is also a DJ, and we share an office together. So I'm around DJs a lot. I know so much about the business of DJing that I can probably manage a DJ if I wanted to. But for those of you who may not be familiar with the term DJ, maybe you know the term disc jockey. But DJs are called upon to bring their musical creativity to events. There is a purpose for the music that they bring. They must be able to entertain the people who are present and keep them there. If the place that they are called to play is a restaurant, a store, or some other commercial place seeking to bring new customers, then a DJ needs to also attract the people. So this may sound simple, but it's actually work. So in order for the event to be successful, the DJ needs to listen to the person who called him or her there. So let's call this person the event organizer. So the event organizer tells the DJ of the location, the time of the event, the duration of the event, and the type of event. And the DJ also has to listen to the crowd that is present. The crowd let the DJ know what they are in the mood for. So the DJ's goal is to ensure that the people are enjoying themselves. And the crowd also needs to listen to the event organizer. They may never have direct contact with the organizer, but they have to listen for the instructions of the space, the rules of the space. How do I maneuver the space, and what do I do in this space? The organizer established rules. So in essence, the crowd needs to also listen to the DJ. So the success of the event is based on listening. The DJ and the crowd must listen to the organizer, and the DJ and the crowd must listen to each other. So I want you to keep this thought in mind as I continue. The biblical story that I just read in 1 Samuel is known as the calling of Samuel. Samuel was not an adult yet at this point. He was still under the guidance and care of Eli, who was also the priest. So in 1 Samuel chapter 1, you can read about Samuel's mother, Hannah, who was barren and prayed for a child, and God blessed her with Samuel. And she decided to give Samuel back to God by having him serve God under the guidance of the priest. And our scripture text this morning said that Samuel ministered to God, but it also said that Samuel did not know God. So I interpret this as Samuel did not have this personal relationship with God at this point, although he performed ministerial duties. So even without having this personal relationship with God, God chose to call him. This means to me that God can call us even when we are out of relationship with God. And this also means that God can call our children and our youth, for Samuel was not yet an adult. Samuel heard the call, but did not identify the voice as God. Instead, he went to Eli and said, "Here I am." When I hear this statement, "Here I am," I hear humility. One has obliged themselves to answer to someone else. One has also agreed to listen to someone else. Additionally, there's an element of trust for this person to choose to present themselves after being summoned. Because the person comes to this space not knowing what is going on, what they're being called to do. They don't know what the person wants to do with them or what is about to happen. Yet they trust the person in order to show up and be before them. So Samuel demonstrated humility and trust by going to Eli saying, "Here I am." Samuel not only did this once, but three times. So he was persistent in trying to answer this call. I believe that our youth today are saying, "Here I am." And I believe others of us today are saying, "Here I am," by being here. Some may come every Sunday out of routine. It may be part of who you are, especially if you grew up in the church. Some may not have any idea why they are here. You may have followed your gut or your instinct that told you to come here today. Whatever the reason, you being here is saying, "Here I am." Those saying, "Here I am," are demonstrating humility and trust. Thus, you already possess the capacity to be used by God for a special purpose. And those who know your calling and have been working your calling may also be saying, "Here I am." God may be calling you to something else right now, but you're not sure what it is. You have yet to hear the details. One of the reasons I'm standing before you today is because I'm the youth pastor candidate for this church. And I believe that one of the most powerful gifts that I can give to the youth as a youth pastor is sharing who God is to me and where God has been in my life and where God is in my life. So in Deuteronomy 4:9, we hear Moses instruct the people of Israel about teaching the next generations about God. And there are two instructions in this verse. First is to take care and watch ourselves closely. Moses says this so that people can be intentional in remembering the things that God has done for them. So can you think of ways to be intentional about remembering these things? One of the ways I have been intentional is through poetry. Some of my poetry acknowledges God's love, grace, mercy, and provision in my life. Another way I claim intentionality is by thanking God in my prayers. But ultimately, I aim to be with others the way God has been with me. In other words, I want to embody justice, love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, and other godly characteristics that God has shown me. The second instruction in this verse is to share these things that we are remembering to the next generation. And this is what I desire to do as a youth pastor. And I believe this is also what Eli was doing with Samuel. Eli had a relationship with God and knew that God called people. He was able to direct Samuel to answer God by telling Samuel to say, "Speak, Lord, I am listening." We can direct our youth and our fellow brothers and sisters who are saying, "Here I am," to hear from God by being intentional and remembering our own experiences of God and sharing them. I am a huge believer of the transformative power of our testimonies. Your testimony of God in your life is just what another person may need to hear for them to connect with God and hear the message that God has for them. And I would like to share with you all part of my testimony. For the past 12 years, I have actually been in a state of frustration around my calling. 12 years ago, I believed in my gut that God was calling me to pastor. I had no idea what to do with this calling. A few years went by. I was sitting on my couch trying to finish up applications for doctoral programs in business. My goal was to be a professor in business administration. But I was struggling in writing personal essays as to why I was choosing doctoral programs. And this kind of struggle was not normal for me. And so I cried out on this couch in anger to God. And I asked God, why am I struggling like this? Teaching is my gift. And I want to teach. And I heard a voice say to me then, I want you to teach my word. I immediately went into panic. I did not know what to do. First thing I could think of is to call people that I know that probably could help me. So I called a mentor that I had, who was also a pastor at the church I was going to at that time. She was not available. Now I called a friend, but she was also not available. So it was hard for me to sleep that night. And my mother, the one who I called a few years prior when I had this gut feeling that God has called me to pastor, is now deceased at that time. Well, she was now deceased. So no one else knew about me having a calling into ministry at that time. So the next day, I decided to call my dad. Since my dad did not know about my calling, I wonder if he would think that I had found something else to get into, because I'm known to have quite a variety of interests. But I called my dad anyway, and he gave me wisdom and was able to calm my anxiety. He recognized the calling that God had on my life and instructed me on how to move forward with my calling. Just like Eli was able to instruct Samuel on how to move forward in his calling. So I soon became a licensed minister in the Baptist church. However, I was still unsure what God meant by pastoring and teaching God's word. And over the past few years, I have come up with several definitions of pastoring to avoid holding the title of pastor in the church. And you may be wondering, why would I do such a thing? In our scripture text, God gives Samuel a message to give to Eli regarding punishment because of the sins of his sons. Chapter 2 informs us that Eli's sons were misusing their positions as being the sons of the priests. They would take advantage of women who were ministering at the temple. They would rob worshipers of their sacrifices. And so me, in growing up in the church, I knew and experienced similar behaviors in the church. I knew of pastors and other church leaders abusing women. I even remember the seductive looks deacons and pastors would give me when I was a teenager. I also remember the $1,000 lines, $100 lines, and $50 lines, and so on and so forth, that preachers would guilt people into forming and then take most of the money. So these are some of the reasons why I did not want to be affiliated with church leadership, specifically this position of pastor. Yet, my spirit remained drawn to the church and the calling of pastoring, and I could not escape it. Although I have moved into full-time ministry, because right now I am a chaplain, I still experience the frustration because I know chaplaincy is not the fullness of my calling. But yet, I have hope. And my hope is not in this position as youth pastor, but my hope is in the youth. I believe that God is calling our youth and giving them a message that the rest of us need to hear. We have been sitting in these churches for years that promote injustice through segregation of worship space, judgment and condemning of people who do not fit in what we consider the norm, abuse and debasement of people based on gender, race, sexuality, religion, and other social categories. Yet, in our children and youth, I see more loving relationships between different races and ethnicities. I see more openness to show the radical love and acceptance of Jesus Christ. So I see hope. And this hope reminded me that God has called me here today to be pastor. For the light that I see in the youth, it's a light I intend to nurture through my pastoring. So God's message to Samuel was one of destruction, but I believe God's message for us through our youth is one of construction. So before I end, I have to go back to the DJ metaphor. So the DJ's job is to construct an environment of enjoyment and pleasure for those who are present. My friend, who's a DJ, once entered the restaurant that he had to DJ in one night, and business was slow. The waiters and staff were not happy. Managers were unorganized. When he began to DJ, he worked to change the dynamic by lifting up the spirits and creating positive energy through the music. But in order for this to be successful, the majority present has to be receptive to the DJ. So this involves listening. The DJ has to listen to the needs of the people, and the people listen to the DJ, to the DJ's musical craft. And everyone there adheres to the guidelines of the owner, the management, the rules of the establishment. So in our scripture text, Samuel listened to Eli. Eli had to listen to Samuel. They both had to listen to God. Eli heard God through Samuel. And I believe Eli's experience of God helped him to identify God in Samuel's message. God sought to establish justice in God's temple. In order for our world to reflect the kingdom of God, where justice and love is thriving, we all have to listen to God and listen to each other. So adults, be intentional in remembering God in our lives and share our testimonies with our youth and listen to our youth. Be in relationship with God so that we can identify God's message through our youth. And youth, listen to testimonies of adults to help guide you to connect to God and share God's message. The most important message in all of this is that we all need to listen to God. This begins by us first having the humility and trust to say, "Here I am." And the persistence to keep chasing the call, and the openness to hear from God, and to hear the Spirit of God that lives in each other. So right now, those of us who are here saying, "Here I am," and would like to receive prayer, this is a time where you can come up to the altar and receive prayer. Pastor, myself, and someone in the back will be available to pray with you. And if you just need prayer, there's something on your heart today, you can come up and just kneel or use this space in this time to connect with God.